Open them to the book of Mark as we continue our study. Mark chapter 1. We're reading beginning in, actually going to back up just a little bit and start in verse 14. After John was put in prison, John the Baptist, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, again just reminded of all the things that you've done, the way that you called people into your service, the way that you continually try to tell people how much you love them and care for them, the way that you share the good news over and over and over again so that people can hear, so that people can know, so they can know you. Lord, you've used multiple people in many people's lives and you continue to do so. And you've also called us to be your messengers, to be your ambassadors, to go before the people of this world with the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he paid the ultimate price for us. We're just so grateful, Lord, that you allow us to continue to worship you and honor you and exalt you. I just pray, Father, today that you will speak to all of our hearts the way we need to hear it, Lord. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we must ask ourselves a couple of questions today, according to this passage we're going to be looking at. Have you heard the call of the Master in your life? That's the very first thing you got to be able to answer. Have you heard His call in your life? And if you have you answered the call? I think a lot of people know what we ought to do as Christians, but are we doing it? That's what really matters, correct? I mean, we can say we know what we're supposed to do. We can know that, I mean, we can memorize just like the Pharisees did. We can memorize all of the laws. We could quote them verse after verse after verse. But what good does that do unless we put those things into practice, right? And so, one of the things that I believe with all my heart that the Lord wants us to do is to hear His Word and then put it into practice. And we're going to be looking at some men today. We're going to be looking at a call that was given by Jesus to 12 specific people. Well, we're going to be looking at the first few of them today. But 12 specific men that He called out to follow Him. Now, it's amazing to stop and even think about the fact that these men were 12 specific men that He called. He didn't just randomly go, hey, if anybody wants to come along, we're going on a journey. He went to these people specifically, and He called on them to follow Him. Now, I think that's awesome because when we look at these men, we will see some specific things that God saw in them that He wanted to use in them, just like He looks at you. And there are specific things in your life that He wants to use in you. There's no one, by the way, who is a Christian who God looks at you and go, well, yeah, I'll pass all right now asking you to do anything. No, He has a specific word for you. He has a specific job for you. He has a specific calling for you in your life. You might say, well, I don't know for sure what that is. Well, I guarantee this, it's not because He's trying to hide it from you. He's trying to tell you how important you are and that what He wants you to do is so incredibly important in the kingdom of God. I want you to see, first of all, as Jesus goes, as He's walking along, He you know, we went through that portion where it talks about John the Baptist being put into prison. And, you know, we ultimately see that he will be put to death. And it's because he's preaching the gospel. Now, would a government put somebody in prison for preaching the gospel? Absolutely. Do you think our government would be capable of doing something like that? Absolutely. John the Baptist would be put to death ultimately. But this was the specific time at just the right. In fact, the scripture reminds us at just the right time Jesus came. So in verse 15 it says, "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has been proclaimed. Jesus Christ came and proclaimed the good news. So this call now is personal. And he goes and he speaks to four different men in this passage that we're looking at today. These four men are specific men. Now, picture this. He goes to the Sea of Galilee. Do you think there were only four fishermen in the Sea of Galilee? No, I mean, you know what? If there's fish, there's going to be fishermen. Right? You know, if you're a fisherman, you know where the fish are. And you're going to go and you're going to find them. Now, they're fishing a lot different than we would, because we, you know, we have all the fancy stuff, the lines and sinkers and all that, the lures and all that. They just had nets. That's what they had. And that's the way they fished. And in fact, they fished differently than we normally would as well, because they went out at night. That's when the fish were feeding. So they knew the fish would be active. And they would go out at night and they would put their nets down. Now you think about it, they didn't have any headlights, they didn't have flashlights, they didn't have any, you know, way of being able to see everything out on the lake. No wonder it was very frightening to them when those storms would come up and it'd be horrible and they'd be in the dark and they wouldn't know where they were headed or if they're going to be bashed into the rocks or whatever else was happening. But that was their life. Every night they'd be out there on the lake making the catches so that they could sell the fish in the morning to the places that would take those fish and feed people and sell them to people. That's what they did. That was their way to get by in life. So these four men, Jesus went to them. Obviously there were others out fishing that night. But Jesus called these men specifically. I want you to understand this as well. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because He called you specifically. Does He call everyone? Yes. Not everybody answers. Kind of like my home phone now. When it rings, I go, I'm not answering that. Because the only people that call my home phone anymore are people that don't have my cell phone number. And I really don't give my cell phone number out to anybody, you know, just anybody. And it's not posted in the phone book. And so I figure people that are calling my house are just calling my house to try to sell me something, so I don't even answer it. Car warranty. That's a good one, you know. Or whatever else it is. Yeah, it's just interesting that the thing that used to be the most important thing in your house, the telephone, is now like, I just don't even listen to it anymore. It rings and I go, it's ringing. Yeah, okay. But Jesus called these men specifically. He went directly to them and He called them in a personal way. Now, I stop and think about this for a minute, because these guys are out there doing their job. They are working hard, and some guy that they've never met before comes up and says this to them. Now look at what it says. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon Peter and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And He says, "Come follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now look at what verse 18 says. At once. Look at that. They didn't go, "Oh, who's this guy?" They'd heard about Him. They knew what was going on. They may have even gone to hear John the Baptist talk about him. But at once they left their nets and followed him. You see, our call from the Lord's personal. There's no doubt about it. He has a plan for you just as he had a plan for Simon Peter and Andrew. And later we will see the other ones as they come along. These four men were specifically called out by Jesus at just the right time. Now, it's interesting that he found them working. He didn't go looking for a bunch of guys that were just sitting around out in front of the I'm trying to think of a place where guys sit out in front and play dominoes and stuff, whatever. A courthouse. You know, that was the way it was in our old town where I grew up. There, in the court, in front of the courthouse, there were old men that were out there sitting playing dominoes every day. That's not where he went. He went and he found these people who were working. They had individual skills. What were their skills? They were good at catching fish. They knew how to do it. They knew when to do it. They knew where to do it. And in fact, the only time that you ever see these guys fishing that they weren't catching any fish is after the resurrection. You remember that? Jesus went back and saw them back doing what they used to do. They were out there fishing, but they weren't catching anything. They weren't catching anything. And Jesus said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He said, "We're fishing." He said, How you doing? Not so good. Why don't you cast your nets on the other side of the boat?" And they're going like, "Yeah, this smart aleck. How does he doesn't know anything about fishing." They say, "Well, it can hurt." So they packed on the other. They get so many fish they couldn't even get the nets in. And it hit Peter. He goes, "That's the Lord." Isn't it interesting how God uses things like that to remind us of who He is? Simon Peter and Andrew were casting their nets when He came to them. Now, these were men who would also be later casting the gospel nets to reach people. You see, God looks at us. He knows the gifts that He's given us. And He wants to use us in those areas of our lives. Simon Peter was casting his net. Jesus said, "Well, don't just be casting your net for fish. I want you to be casting your net for men." And that's exactly what Simon Peter began to do. These were men who would also be later casting the gospel nets to reach people. In fact, Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and he preached the gospel. And what is it? 3,000 people were saved. That's a pretty good day, isn't it? 3,000 people came to know Jesus when Peter stood up that day and proclaimed the gospel before the people in Jerusalem. I think it's also interesting. I always love these tidbits when I hear about them and find them in Scripture. On the very first Pentecost, if you remember when that is, it was right after Moses came down from the mountain and he found the people worshiping the golden calf. And the earth opened up, and how many people did it swallow? 3,000. So 3,000 people died on the first Pentecost. On this Pentecost, the last Pentecost that they celebrated, 3,000 people came to know Jesus. Isn't that just like God? See, when you worship the idols of this world, you're going to pass away. When you worship Him, you will know what real life is all about. But on the other hand, James and John were taking care of their nets or mending their nets. That's what they were doing. They weren't actually casting their nets at the time that Jesus came a little bit later and asked them to also follow Him. They were known as two people who loved people and helped people grow in their faith. What a picture. They're taking care of the nets. Why? So that they can cast them eventually. Be able to catch the fish. Because if you throw a net out there and it's got big holes in it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to miss the fish. They're going to get right out. These were two of the purposes, by the way, of the body of Christ, the church. It's to reach those who are lost. That's what Peter and Andrew were doing. Specifically, they were trying to catch the fish. They were doing the work. And then not only to catch the lost, but to disciple those who come to them, mending the nets, taking care of people through love, giving love to each other. And I think it's just interesting that a lot of times we would look at this and just totally miss that, because all we would see is that Jesus were calling his disciples. But Jesus knows exactly what he wants to do with you. And he knows what gifts he's given you. And he knows what areas of expertise you might have. And he knows the heart that you have. And he will take you and use you wherever you are. Very rarely did he ever call anyone and say, you know, you're really good at doing this, but I don't want you to ever do that again. I want to use you totally different. No. He takes us because he has made us in his image for a purpose and a reason, and he uses us in those areas. God wants to bless us in that way. It's a personal call. It's also a public call. It's a call that was public. He didn't try to disguise this. He didn't go around going, hey, guys, come over here. Come over here. What he did was says, hey, guys, I want you to follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. These fishermen would have to give up fishing for fish and begin fishing for people. It was a brand new life. Excuse me. We too have become a new creation. And the Lord has given us a job to do. You see, before you knew the Lord, you didn't even know he had a job for you. But when you came to know Jesus Christ, there's no doubt in my heart and mind that he put on your heart that he has a purpose for you. You see, you don't get saved just to be saved. You get saved so that you can tell other people. He's called us to do his work. He didn't just call you into salvation. He called you so that you can also call others into salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you. That word implore means to get down on one knee and beg. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do what he's called you to do. Now, there's a lot of people that I feel like they just want to get their ticket punched to heaven. So they do whatever they think it's going to take just to make sure that they get to go to heaven whenever they die. But that's not really salvation at all. That's trying to meet some kind of legal, in our minds and our hearts, some kind of a legal step so that we can know for sure we're going to be with God. Yes, is there promise and joy in knowing that you're saved? Absolutely. But that's not why we become saved. We become saved because we realize we needed the Savior. We need the one who did all the things that we could never do for us. And so we trusted our lives to him. And he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And so because of that, it's just as if he is walking alongside another sea, a sea of people. And he's looking at you and he's looking at me and saying, come, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You see, nobody gets off by saying, hey, I just got my ticket punched and now I don't have to do anything. Why? Because there are so many more people who don't know Jesus. If you stop and think about it, would you say that 50% of Americans know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? No. There may have been a time in this country where it was that many, but it's certainly not anymore. And in fact, I'll never forget the first time I heard Billy Graham say this. He said he believes that 80% of the people who go to church every Sunday and sit in the pews are probably lost. How's that possible? Well, because they're going for the whole wrong reason. It's a religion. It's checking off the boxes so that somehow God might look at us and think, well, you're okay. The problem is none of us are okay. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So Jesus calls these fisherman to a brand new life and a brand new purpose. He says, no longer will you be fishermen. In other words, you're not going to be out here every night throwing your nets into the sea, pulling up all these fish. In fact, just stop and think about it. They weren't able to go home after they got off work and take a shower. Now, you probably could say these guys smelled a little fishy. You understand what I'm saying? Wearing the same clothes day after day after day, doing the same thing over and over. They didn't go home and throw all their clothes in the washing machine. You know? It's just, you have to think about it. These guys smell like fish. Not the greatest. I mean, I don't see many stores that are offering up OD fish as a perfume that they're trying to sell. I wonder why, because it's not very pleasing. But Jesus says, listen, you're no longer going to be known as fishermen, seamen, people who've been out there taking care of fish and catching fish and cleaning fish and mending your nets. And instead, you're now going to be known as fishers of men. You're going to be people who care enough about other people that you're willing to do the work that it takes to bring them in. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33 says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. You have a new purpose, and it is to proclaim me. Did they know who he was? Yes. They'd heard about John the Baptist, and they'd heard about the incident where the skies opened and the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus, and he says, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. And everybody knew what that meant. This is the Messiah. And I'm certain that even in the boats, as they were doing fishing, they were probably talking about current events just like we do. You know, what's happening in the world? We can all talk about the things that are happening in this world. And they're probably going like, man, did you hear? You know, what do you think about that? The Messiah has come. I'm sure. But they never expected him to just come walking up beside the Sea of Galilee, look at them in the face and say, hey, come. Come here. I want you to follow me. You're no longer going to be catching fish. You're going to be catching people. You have a new purpose in life. Thirdly, this morning, the call was precious. Because it was a connecting call. What do I mean by that? Well, they'd been known as fishermen, but they had no religious training. Now, doesn't it seem to make sense in today's logic in society that if you wanted to have people who would go out and do this kind of work, you would go to the so-called seminaries of the day, the places where all the Pharisees were gathering for training? Wouldn't you want to go to them? Well, that's what the world would say. Yeah, I mean, that's the place to go. These people know all the, you know, they know all the laws. They've memorized them. They do them. They, you know, they know all this kind of stuff. That's the people you need to be calling out. Jesus says, no. What I need to call is people who are willing to trust me and to follow me and to listen to me and understand who I am. I don't need religion. I want a relationship. You see, these guys, they didn't have any religious training. Their training had been, ever since they were little, to be like their father. Their father was a fisherman. Guess what I'm going to be? I'm going to be a fisherman. That's the way things were back then. If your dad was a carpenter, guess what you'd be? A carpenter. If your dad was a fisherman, you'd be a fisherman. If your dad was a thief, he'd be a congressman. Okay, so anyway. Did I say that? I'm just kidding. Okay. These guys were not the most intellectual people. They were not, you know, they were not people that probably graduated at the top of their class. Why? Because they didn't have a class. Their whole life had been fishing. But what they were was available to the master. Now, what's interesting is when you look at this and when you read this, when Jesus comes and he calls them, what does it say? They immediately left their nets and came and followed him. It wasn't one of these, hey, can we get back to you in a couple of weeks? We got to check, you know, we got to check our schedule. You know, we're supposed to be fishing every night. And, you know, we got a quota to meet. And, you know, we don't want to leave anybody in the lurch by not meeting our quota. And what did they do? They immediately left their nets and followed the Lord. They were available. That's what verse 18 tells us. At once they left their nets and followed him. The most valuable possession of a fisherman was his net. I mean, they could even, you know, hack it without a boat. They would wade out as far as they could and use their nets if they had to. But they left their nets. It's interesting that David left his sheep to follow the shepherd. Abram left his property and his wealth to go to a place that the Lord would show him. And he became Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. And there was even a small boy who shared his little lunch with Jesus and saw him feed 5,000 people. Men with that. You see, God is looking for people who are willing to say, when He calls, they say, I'm here. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. You remember when Isaiah was confronted in Isaiah chapter 6 with the presence of God Himself? What did he say? Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to do whatever it is you want me to do. You see, God's call is always directly, and it's directly to you. It connects. And it's also a commissioned call. You see, God commissions us to be His ambassadors. We all have a purpose in the body of Christ. And listen to me, folks. Your purpose is not just to show up. There's some people who will be here every Sunday. There's some people who always do the same thing. And that's good. I mean, we should be here. We should be meeting together all the more as we see that day approaching. But you see, it's not just about that. It's about coming together with a purpose to be the body of Christ. We've been called to work together. What happens when part of your body doesn't work? You don't get done what you need to get done. You're not able to accomplish many of the things you could have done because the body's not working properly. We have a purpose in the body of Christ, and we have a choice to serve Him or we can serve ourselves. And listen, folks, there are many people on church rolls that are on the church rolls because they joined a church. But that's it. They're not serving the Lord. They're not a part of the body of Christ. They're not helping us function as we should as the body of Christ for the one purpose that God has given us. And you might ask, what's that one purpose? To meet together every week? And that's not what the main purpose is. The main purpose is to tell people about Jesus. Show them His love. Now, there's another thing about this particular instance. The call that was given to these four men was pricey. What do I mean by that? Well, they had to leave their profession. They would make enough money to keep going by selling fish to the merchants. But they walked off the job that day. In other words, they knew they wouldn't be getting a paycheck. They knew they wouldn't be getting paid for the fish. They knew they wouldn't be getting paid. They left their friends and their families and their jobs. They left the only job they'd ever known. And they traded the certain for the uncertain. Well, let me tell you something, folks. That's part of what faith really means. It means stepping out, believing that God will do what He says He will do. Have you trusted the Lord by faith? Trusted in the fact that you can't accomplish your own salvation, but He can, and He did? They left their jobs and they traded the certain for the uncertain, the visible for the invisible. They could have no possible way of knowing what would have been in store for them by following Jesus. In fact, if they'd have known the end, they might not have done it. Because 11 of these 12 died for their faith. And you think about it. I could still be fishing. I could have meals every day. I could have a little money in my pocket. Or I could die. And they changed their own abilities for an inability. Every single one of these men that Jesus called to follow him, become his disciples, they were not religious men. In fact, the story goes back in these days, the fishermen were kind of like the crude crew, that were working on the pump jacks and the oil field. Any of you ever worked in the oil field? Yeah. It's not the best group of guys. The fact is they were just coarse, lost men. But they left those things. They left their own security. You see, what they did know is how to catch fish. And they were good at it. And they knew where to cast their nets. And they knew when the fish would be ready and feeding. And they knew when it was time to mend their nets. And they knew, you know, exactly. It reminds me of that story of this, I hate to use the word Aggie, but I mean, it's, you understand what I'm talking about? This Aggie decided he wanted to go fishing, and so he went to this lake, and he decided he would rent a boat. And so he rented the boat, and he asked the guy, where's a good place to go fishing? And the guy kind of told him where to go, and so he and his other Aggie friend went out to the place, and they started fishing, and man, they started catching fish like crazy. So they got a whole mess of fish, and they came back in, and so they decided, well, let's go again tomorrow. And one of them says, how will we know exactly where, I don't remember exactly how to get to where we were. And he says, don't worry about it. I drew an X in the bottom of the boat. Anyway, you know, a lot of people think that they know all the things about it. These guys knew how to catch fish. They'd grown up with a net in their hands. They knew how to throw that net perfectly into the places where they needed to be. But they left those things, and specifically, they even left their families. And you might say, that's not a good thing, is it? Let me tell you something, folks. Family is important. But the call of God is even more important. And there will be times when you have to choose to follow whatever God says rather than do what you want to do. Does that make sense? I mean, look at Paul. As soon as God called him, that's exactly what he did. And he even went to his death, leaving everything behind. They left their security, you know, their security in catching the fish and their families and all those things. They left them behind. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39 says, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. You might say, well, are you saying that Jesus was trying to tell people that they ought to hate their father and mother in comparison to their love to him? Yes. What it means is once you give yourself completely to God, according to God's word, in Matthew, by the way, If you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, what will happen? Then all the other things will be added to you as well. Much greater than they would have been before. You might have a relationship with a wife or a husband or a child or whatever else, but it'll never be the relationship God wants you to have until you follow Jesus Christ as your Lord. And I can tell you what, there's a disconnect between parents and children, of parents who are religiously forcing their kids to do things because that's what I said to do, instead of having a real love relationship with their kids and explaining to them and living the truth of God's love in front of them. The call is pricey. Lastly this morning, the call is powerful. See, when Jesus called them, He called him in the power of God. The power is who He is. Jesus didn't have to come with a resume and say, hey guys, I'd like to have you be a part of my team. Here's the layout. This is how we're going to do. He just said, come. Follow me. Just come. They'd say, well, Jesus, what are the benefits that we'll have on this? Or, you know, how long do we have to do this? Or what? They just followed. Why? Because they knew who He was. He is the Messiah. He is the chosen one. He had not even performed any miracles yet, and yet they knew He was worth following. You know, there were a lot of people who began to follow Jesus later on when they saw all the miracles happening. But these guys followed Him no matter... They didn't know about any of those things that were going to happen. And again, like I said, if they'd known how the end was going to come out, they probably would have thought about it a lot harder. Because not only would most of them die, they would also have to see Jesus die and then be raised again. You see, it's His power that is then given to us. You see, in His power, the Scripture says, we can do all things. Do you believe that? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all of this through Him who gives me my strength. Paul says, I can do anything He asks me and tells me to do, not in my own power, but because of His power that gives me strength. He is the one who calls me. He is the one who directs me. He is the one who shows me. He is the one who even tells me what I'm supposed to say and what I'm not supposed to say. Folks, when we get to a point where we begin to check in with Jesus before we do anything, we are at the point of complete brokenness to ourselves and usefulness to Him. Let me just make this statement that I think that you might take in the wrong way until you think about what I'm saying. God is looking for people who are broken. Is that you? Is that me? Is that what I mean by that? People who are willing to say, God, I can't do this. I don't have the abilities. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength to do this. I can't do this on in and of myself. And He says, good. I'm glad you understand that. But with me, you can do all things. Because it's not your power, it's my power. It's not your will, it's my will. It's not your direction, it's my direction. And so in the midst of this very short period of time, as Jesus comes up and says, hey, come follow me. They had to determine, was it worth it to leave everything else behind and follow Him? It's the same for you if you've not followed Jesus in your life. You got to make this choice. And you don't know exactly what's going to happen down the path of your life. You don't know exactly what this may take you to, or a place it may send you to, or a person that you might have to talk to. But God says, follow me. Just follow me. If you're willing to do so, then God will bless your life and He will use you and He will give you His power and you will be able to die in your own ways and be made alive in His ways. Listen, folks, if we're quite honest, we'd have to say it's better for me to die to my own self because I make a terrible God. When I'm in control, things are not good. When I'm in control, things don't happen the way they should. When He's in control, all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. He's got a plan for us. He's calling you. Maybe He called you a long time ago. Maybe you've not quite finished answering Him. Maybe you didn't jump right out of the boat and walk with Him for 3 years. That's what these guys did. These men that He called were willing to follow. There's an old hymn that says, "Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him wherever He goes." That's what God's calling us to do. Whatever it is He says to do, that's what we ought to do. We can't have any preconceived ideas of what I'll do all of these kinds of things, but I'm not going to do these things. Because I'm really not good at that stuff, and I know He wouldn't ask me to do some of that stuff. It's probably what He will ask you to do. Because He wants you to completely trust Him and not yourself. Simon Peter, out there trying to catch fish every night, wasn't eloquent in his speech, was not a learned man or educated man, and yet when it came time for God to speak to the people who were listening, Peter stood up and spoke. One of the greatest messages ever given. And 3,000 people were saved. That's what God's looking for. People who are willing to open themselves up to Him and allow Him to use them as an instrument unto righteousness. Well, let's pray together. Dear Father, I ask You to help us surrender ourselves to You. Lord, I know that that's not easy because ourselves are so powerful and they're so needy and they're so wanting to put ourselves before other things and especially before You. But Father, You use broken vessels. Use people who are willing to humble themselves before Almighty God. You're willing to use people who would simply say, "Lord, here I am, send me." Lord, I might not be the best of the bunch. I might not know everything I need to know. I'm just a fisherman. I just work in a coal mine. Whatever it is. And He looks at you and says, "I'm calling you. And when I call you, I will equip you and I will use you if you will simply surrender yourself completely to me." If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, that's the very first step. It's realizing that He is God and you're not. He is perfect and you're not. And He's the only one who could pay for your sins because He is perfect. And that's what He did. And so you could choose to follow Him today. How do you do that? By repenting of your sins. Claiming the very fact that you know that these sins are wrong. And you've committed them against the Father. And you're sorry. And because of that, Scripture says, if you'll confess your sin, He will forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. In other words, you become a new person, a new creation. And the Holy Spirit will move in and start to show you the things you ought to say and the places you ought to go and the things you ought to do. So if you would trust Him today, that would be so the very key thing you need to do. But if you've already trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and yet, when you say Lord, you don't really try to mean Lord because you see Him as Lord of all things, but not necessarily Lord of everything in your life. He wants to be Lord because He deserves to be Lord and because He is Lord. And that means all aspects of our life need to be turned over to Him. And when that happens, He will use you. He will speak through you. He will touch people through you. He will take you to the places where you need to go. He will give you the words that you ought to say so that people are going to hear the good news. So whatever it is that God is calling you to do today, you have the option of saying yes or no. You can get out of the boat. You can follow His call. Or you can continue to do the things you're doing. But He has a plan and a purpose for you as a part of the body of Christ. Will you answer the call? Will you follow what He's asked you to do? Dear Lord, I pray today that Your Word would take seed in our hearts and that You will speak, Father, just as You need to right now in all of our lives and call us to be what You've called us to be. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be trusting and to walk by faith. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.